That's right. The drive is live. How's it going? I will at this point like to say,
oh man,
that I will.
Y'all better be freaking ready, dude.
Well, I am. I am going to whatever the scale says. I have an inkling. I will. I will just say at this point now. Maybe I'll go into an explanation a little bit later. I do think if it is at a whatever it is, Tyler Milner should play a role into how I got to that place.
Oh, really? I'm
don't you dare try to do that right
saying,
now.
I'm just saying.
No.
I was on the fence about a purchase at the Daikin that is pretty sugary laden. And Tyler,
and I told you, if you do this, you better be ready Monday.
Did you do a funnel?
No, Tyler, that's not what you said.
Yes, it is.
At the end, Tyler goes, come on, man.
Nope.
Come on, man. Go enjoy yourself.
Think,
go enjoy yourself.
Think liquid.
A pink frozen pink drink.
Not pink.
Yes.
A frozen margarita,
to be specific.
Yeah.
But Tyler said, man, go have a good time, man. Enjoy yourself. Tyler said to me on the way out. I said, you know what, you're right. That was it.
Well, you should be able to overcome a pink drink at a Astros game.
Yeah, man.
Just saying, you man. I'm just saying, whatever it is, Tyler's got to pay a little bit of money.
I don't remember what my lightest was. It's been 243 something. I don't remember what it was.
243 something, yeah.
I think I got a chance to get sub 243.
You're feeling it. And you were in Nashville.
Bounced around a little bit. Well, I was only there. It was last week, but I was only there a couple days. But that's okay. I mean, I got back in time.
You got back in time to really get after it? Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just saying. Listen, we'll see. Weigh in at 3 o'clock. I'll just say Tyler just had it. Played a role in it.
Hard disagree. I told you all day that day. I told you when I first saw you Saturday at the pregame spot.
But then when
I said, Ron,
when it came down to it, you said, go enjoy yourself, man.
But you better be ready Monday.
Did he also offer me the rest of his...
I didn't want it to go to waste. Brisket nachos.
His brisket nachos. Ooh. Did he also try to hand me that over?
But yes, he didn't have that.
I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you where I'm at, Ron.
I did eat them peanuts, though.
Like a psychopath.
I'm sitting at the at a bar Friday night, a little hotel bar up on the rooftop, and it's about closing time. And my boy comes walking in with two large pizzas.
He came in last week.
I had three pizzas.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't even typically eat.
You don't eat pizza. He came in last Thursday with two big boxes of Pink's pizza. I had no idea. I had never had
Pink's either. Ron hadn't either.
But Brandon was knocking it back right here next to me. But
yeah, it was. Skeezy said, "Hey, let me hold a slice."
It went back again.
I tell you what else I did, Ron.
Whew.
Stayed on that tequila all day.
Yeah.
Woke up that next morning feeling like $1 million.
Did you?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. Anything else would have had your boy out of commission on Saturday.
I woke up feeling pretty good, too, off the tequila.
Mm.
Added a lot more tequila, but yeah. That's all right. But 3 o'clock, you see what happened. Clint's coming off of a little time in Nashville, and I went to the game on Saturday. I did all right. It was the eighth inning. Seventh inning when I trickled down. After Tyler said, man, dude, go have fun. Enjoy yourself. It was really convincing.
But be ready Monday.
And I went in. I didn't hear that portion of it. That because this was post.
He left that off?
This was post.
Did he leave it off or did you tune it out?
I didn't hear it. I think he left it off. And this was post after he offered me the nachos. All right. And you know that's a weak spot for me. You know it had the white queso too.
I really didn't think about it in that moment. I just did. There was a lot of them brisket nachos left. And I was trying to see if any of the big fellas I was at the game with wanted it.
I know you did. I was able to turn it down. All right. The first half, at least the All-Star break is officially over, Clint. And the Astros, I would say, did not close that thing strong the way that they wanted. Before you left, we talked about, hey, man, this is kind of important. You got swept by the Guardians, and then you lose the series to the Rangers. And then within that, you're thinking, all right, well, maybe you get some help because the Mariners are going to go play the best team in baseball. And hell, they up and sweep the Tigers. And so now with this recent 1-5 homestand that the Astros just had to close out the first half, now this lead has shrunk from 7.5 to 5 games right now going into the break. And you have the Mariners right off the bat for a series to open things up at the break. So they have really staggered and struggled on their way home, and the injuries feel like that may be a part of it. I know you weren't really wanting to give that a big excuse coming in when we knew they had Lance Framber and Hunter Brown going. Are you, and you can text in and jump in on this as well, text line 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Are you getting yourself officially a bit concerned with the Astros, the way they finished out this homestand?
Well, I think I'm more concerned just in general with the sheer volume of injuries. I don't look, the 1-5 to finish the thing, I don't think they're that bad a baseball team, as well as I don't think they're as good a baseball team as, what were they, 13-2 or 13-3 in a series versus division opponents that were leading their division. Like, I don't think they're that dominant of a baseball team. I don't think they're that poor of a baseball team, what we watched the last 6 weeks, to be honest. I think they're somewhere in the middle. I think the concern is what you said. It's like, at this point, there's no doubt. How fragile is the team, right? Now, on top of the injuries, you get into, and I know there's a little bit of a break here, but you're going to get into, it's a 162-game season. It's a long haul. It's last year we heard the Texans talk about playing in the Hall of Fame game and then also playing in the playoffs and how long of a season that is. The Astros, just the length of the season is going to take toll on a lot of these players moving forward. And so how can they weather that storm? Look, 1-5 to end the first half of the season, I'd rather end on a better note than that, but sitting five games up in the division is still a healthy lead. And it goes to show you what you just mentioned with the Mariners and how they finished the first half, and the Astros, how poorly they finished the first half. They're still up five games in the division. It goes to show you how terrible they're going to have to play in the second half to lose this lead in the division. Anything can happen. There's a lot of baseball left. But if the Astros just come out and handle their business, they should be able to hang on to this thing and finish strong. But we'll see.
Yeah, Ocho comes in. Ron, why are Astros fans, why are some Astros fans are worried about the Mariners? The Astros are closer to leading the AL than losing the division lead. But some fans are worried about the Mariners. It just kind of closed quick. I don't know about you fellas, I had gotten to a point where I had just stopped looking at the division as
sure
a little bit, yeah.
Like, as a thing, I had moved past that a bit. But I mean, five games with a series coming out of the gate, right? Like that can instantly get into a place where they're in real range, and this is a serious thing. Right, and they're going to play them down the stretch, right?
I mean, depending on what you do. You take two of three, or you sweep them, then all of a sudden you're back up six and a half, whatever it would be. I mean, you're back up and you're back rocking and rolling, or you drop three and this thing gets down to two or three games. Yeah. And woo, that could be a bad deal.
Now changes everything. Now your injuries and all of that stuff is heightened. By the way, to me, the injuries, that obviously that was a big thing. But the Hunter Brown thing to watch a little bit, right? You know, his last two starts, 11 innings total, 11 hits, 10 earned runs. Had another rough one yesterday. 11 Ks, 4 walks. His ERA two starts ago was at 1.82, and now it's jumped to 2.43, which is still really good, all-star worthy. But that is one to watch that teams. He said he was potentially tipping his pitches, he thought, in that last start before he started yesterday against the Rangers, and now they kind of got to him again yesterday. So that is one to watch. Not because I have a feel that Hunter Brown is going to struggle. There's just an immense amount of pressure on Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez to have good quality starts, because of the rest of what the pitching rotation potentially looks like before Dana maybe makes some trades. So, you know, it was good to see, you know, Framber bounce back from his previous bad start at 10 Ks in 6 innings of the game that me and Tyler went to. But this is 2 in a row for Hunter Brown where they've kind of lit him up. That's That's the only other thing.
Look, there's a big difference. In my opinion, there's a big difference in what we saw from Hunter Brown and what we saw from Fromber. Obviously, Fromber's numbers, which you just read, the box score, the stat line, that sounds really good, but it wasn't a great Fromber. I mean, if I remember early in that game, I mean, there's all kind of base runners all over the place. Now, there was an error on one by somebody. I can't remember who it was. Somebody made an error. But early on, that wasn't like Fromber went out there and was dominant Fromber that he can be. He just battled his way through and had a good outing. And then the Astros made a little noise late to win that thing. But the Hunter Brown situation is interesting, whether it's tipping pitches or not. I mean, that is a rough two outings, again, because the pressure is so high on those guys to tote the water at this point in time, right? I mean, those two guys have to be absolute nails and then let the Cam Smiths and the injured lineup pick and choose when they want to score runs and get the W's that way. Right now, you're just too – you're too – I mean, you're razor thin.
No, you're razor – I mean, you're Zach Short away from getting an Oppo walk-off that Tyler – well, we'll get to Tyler later, but a Zach Short Oppo shot. Yeah. That you could have been swept in that series and swept for the homestand, you know, obviously, but it did not happen. But yeah, that's the thing, is it does feel like the injuries are starting to roll through. Someone said what worries me a little bit more is Hunter's last two starts. We talked to someone texting, I believe the break will do everyone good. I could get a sense of that too.
But the reality of it is, to your overall point, Ron, is that Fromber Valdez right now, until you get Lance McCullers rolling, until you get Spencer Arrighetti back, until you get some help in that starting rotation, like some legitimate help, it is so heavily dependent on those two guys being nails when their turn comes up in the rotation that you just can't afford. Those guys can't let up at all. And Hunter obviously let up a couple of games here.
Yep. They still got six left against the Mariners in the second half. And it starts with that first big one, that three-game set coming out
of the backside.
And that's what, oddly enough, I didn't see coming, especially the way they were playing, and especially the way the teams, the Guardians and the Rangers were playing coming in. I didn't personally see that series being as big as it was. And plus, I didn't see the damn Mariners sweeping the Tigers. That one also was one I didn't see. They were talking about this leading into the crosstalk, but some of the injury notes. Dana Brown spoke on the flagship pregame yesterday, Clint, and an update here on some of them. Jeremy Pena, he was asked if Jeremy Pena could return for the Seattle series after the All-Star break, and General Manager Dana Brown told their flagship that it's a little early, but Pena isn't far off. He talked about Yordan. He will be reevaluated on Thursday, and once that's over, the doctor could potentially clear him to start swinging a bat. And then Jake Myers, at a very minimum. Oh, we hadn't heard from you since the Jake injury happened. That was the day that you were out.
Well, by the time I got home, I look up and Zach Short's playing, and I'm like, I thought Ron specifically said Zach was getting a break. What the hell happened? And then Tyler said that he told me what happened. I didn't actually see it. But it's just one more.
But Jake, he will miss at the very minimum 3+ weeks with the right calf strain. Mm. And he was not able to run to center field before the game started. But this is the thing, man. Those three dudes, right? I mean, that they have out of the lineup make it completely different. Yet Christian Walker missed for paternity leave, which is understandable. He was back. But those three dudes... And that's not even the pitchers we've talked about yet, the Spencer Arrighetti's and company. But those three dudes, desperately, they need to get back in there. And I'll be honest, like Jeremy Pena, I feel the most confident about. The other two, I wouldn't even dare to guess what a timetable is for those guys.
I'm looking at Space City right now. Jeremy Pena's out there. I mean, getting a full blown workout.
He's getting workout.
The hell's wrong? Was he waiting on?
Let's see if him swinging a bat though with them ribs. So that might be a problem. The Yordan thing.
I mean, I would think throwing the ball across the diamond. Not it ain't as violent as the bat, but I still think that the action is.
I think it is smart. Like, hopefully he's ready for the Seattle series. Hopefully he's ready by Friday. But he'll have this whole week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That right there, I thought he said something about 3 weeks. Like, that right
no,
there
No, he's talking looks, about Jake. Jake, at the very minimum, okay. 3 weeks. I know it's hard to keep up with how many of these guys have. Tyler, you hear? Dana said, Jordan, no paint.
Moving in the right direction.
No paint.
That's great.
Does that matter?
No, means nothing to me.
Does that matter if he hasn't done baseball activities yet?
Nope.
No, it doesn't.
Hey, don't care.
Because clearly, right, two other times before now, I would imagine when he went down, he had no pain before swinging it again, right? I would imagine they didn't have him to ramp back up in his rehab the previous first two times with him in pain. So, I mean, does that matter to understanding of if he's close? If he is showing no pain right now in his hand, but has not swung a bat, has not done anything baseball activities-wise? We were talking about it, man. Tyler, I don't know if it was the anger in his heart, but I think Tyler was convinced that the Texans will play week one before Jordan returns. September 7th is week one. Oh, Tyler,
I was convinced. I am convinced. That ain't changed over the weekend. And this little update ain't making him move in any direction at all.
He's got no pain. I thought maybe around Courtney's birthday, August 14th.
Well, so a month from now, huh?
I thought maybe around that time. Tyler does not. He thinks CJ Stroud will take a drop back prior to Jordan making his way back.
I think the Jordan thing's interesting. The Jordan thing is really interesting.
Someone texted in, he's been doing baseball activities his whole life. He's good. No, clearly he's not. And he has not been good once he has started to swing the bat. We keep having setbacks when he has to start swinging. And they did go take a second opinion.
How did the second opinion come in? Good, though?
Oh, they praised it. Okay. They said, yeah. And they remember
they hear from Jordan's interpreter?
No. No, we didn't. But they did run in there and say, hey, a lot of the things we saw, the second opinion saw, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They were safe. Safety. Well, hopefully it is back. But yeah, everybody can get a rest. Hopefully they have some of those reinforcements back.
We got anything on Spencer?
No. Well, he was throwing in Florida.
Yeah. Last we heard.
Yeah. He's been doing that a while. All right. CJ Stroud, according to NFL executives, coaches, and scouts, he was number 7 last year when it came to the top 10 quarterbacks. Where do you think he lands this year? Hint, he's not in the top 10. There's a hint. But you got issue with that. How does that hit your ears? How does that make you feel? Fair, foul, whatever, when you hear CJ Stroud was 7th last year and he is not in the top 10 this year. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, ESPN, they do this every year. They've done it with multiple positions. We've talked about them, especially when they've included the Texans. We talked about it with the safeties. We talked about it with the running backs. We talked about it with the edge rushers. And the quarterback one was dropped this year. If you remember last year, CJ Stroud was in at number 7 coming off of that great rookie year. He was in at number 7. This year, the top 10 is out. Patrick Mahomes won again. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson are the top 4. I think most people would have believed that would have been the top 4 in some order. Jaden Daniels comes in at 5, the number 1 NFC quarterback. That could be of discussion at some point. Matthew Stafford right behind him. Clint's favorite, Justin Herbert, in the 7th spot. Jared Goff. And the reigning Super Bowl MVP, Jalen Hurts, in the 9 hole. And then 10th is Baker Mayfield for the Buccaneers. That is the top 10. Now, C.J. Stroud, when they went and did the honorable mentions, he was the first name, followed by Jordan Love in the honorable mentions. but he did not make it into the top 10. And as I said, those of you on the text line, I'm seeing some on YouTube and Twitch. How does that hit your ears? Thinking about everything that you've seen and you've heard and you've watched over the 2 years and what happened last year, how does that hit your ears when you hear that C.J. Stroud didn't make it and dropped from last year? Somebody here on YouTube and Twitch, old Derby Dude Rose, said, joke's all on us. Or joke's all on them. Someone else said, even in Stroud's bad season, he has proved to be better than Herbert. So there's some thoughts there. What's your opinion there on C.J. Stroud not making it into the top 10 this year?
Well, look, I think it's fair. I think it's more than fair. I think you
it doesn't hit your ears weird.
No, it does. It doesn't hit my ears weird at all. I think that's very fair. Now there's an argument to be made here, and they did mention it in the article or within the rankings that. The voting for 8 through 11, so Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, C.J. Stroud, was extremely, extremely close. So he's really close to being in the top 10. But, you know, when you look at C.J. Stroud's year last year, you look at, like, the shortcomings of the Texans over the last couple of years is in the playoffs and, for the most part, offensively. And when you look at the fact that the offensive coordinator was fired, the O-line coach was fired. You look at C.J. Stroud was one of the most pressured quarterbacks in all of football, hell, damn near the most pressured quarterback if it wasn't for Caleb Williams. So, yeah, I think given all those circumstances around a quarterback, I think it's more than fair for him to be ranked number 11. In fact, I'd argue that that's borderline generous for C.J. Stroud. Would you? Yeah, you got some really good quarterbacks that finished behind C.J. Stroud. Notably, two of them, Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott. I mean, you got some guys that
Jordan. It's honorable mention: C.J., Jordan Love, and then Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Tua, and Bo Nix.
Yeah, I mean, those are some pretty damn good quarterbacks that we've seen with bigger sample sizes, if you will, than C.J. Stroud. And so. You know, I think finishing 11 right here is a good spot. I think it's a fair spot for C.J. Stroud. Yes.
Fair. Yeah. It didn't hit my ears weird when I heard it and read it.
Huh? Until what?
It didn't. I just said didn't. It didn't hit. And I know for some people it was weird. Dan Orlovsky said he thought it was the biggest joke of the list
that C.J. wasn't
that C.J. wasn't on it. He said he would. He said he would have had him on there over Herbert, which I think there are probably a lot of people who may have those feelings. Maybe over Baker as well as what he said. But he thought C.J. should have been on the list. It didn't hit my ears weird when I heard that, because I think there are a lot of guys who had really good years and had really good seasons that are coming on. And there were some struggles that – I know there's some people who are annoyed by this, and I heard some people talking about this when they were talking about this on TV today. I'm just not one that sits here and says last year wasn't on CJ. Some of it was on CJ. I watched every one of the games, and many of you did too. Like, now I'm not going to sit here and say that all of it was. I'm not going to sit here and say that most of it, you know, wasn't. But some of that was also steps or a step back that CJ took within his decision making. Some of those things to me wasn't just all on Bobby Slowick, wasn't just all on the offensive line. I thought CJ made some trouble for himself.
Yeah.
At times, and
well,
top 12 feels right to me.
I agree. I think there are arguments. I mean, if somebody wanted to get into a debate about 7 and beyond, which is Justin Herbert, but if you look at Justin Herbert, there's a 5-year sample size, and I'm not a big Justin Herbert fan, as people know. I'm not. I don't think he's hung the moon. I think he's super talented, but there's no arguing with 21,000 plus passing yards in his first 5 years, and he's the first guy in NFL history. Right, I mean, there's no arguing that he threw, you know, 3 interceptions and over 500 plus attempts last year, lowest since 2016 with Tom Brady. right? You look at Jared Goff. I mean, Jared Goff, yeah, you can argue like that, all this supporting cast and yada, yada, yada. He has been absolutely tremendous of late. Jalen Hurts won a damn Super Bowl. Baker Mayfield.
Jalen Hurts to me is that's odd to me.
That he's that low?
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
I just think he gets hosed because of, I'm not going to say this doesn't have anything to do with his success, but he gets hosed because of his roster and what he has there. And it seems like more of the credit is shifted towards the guys he has and not as much towards him. But, I mean.
Well, there's just no way to quantify or rank the number one Jalen Hurts skill set, which is the absolute alpha leader of the locker room. There's just no way to there's no way to rank that, and it's never going to get the credit that it deserves. You look at what he does great. It's you know, they mentioned in the article the most potent short yardage quarterback rusher in NFL history. Right, he's not going to get much love for that right there.
Yeah, no, it wasn't just short yardage though. In the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, I agree.
Head-to-head against Patrick Mahomes. It wasn't just short yardage.
No, you don't have to convince.
In the NFC Championship game against Jaden Daniels.
Like his skill set in terms of establishing the run, which everybody does and everybody's tried to do from Jump Street every single year, his ability to assist, if not lead the way in establishing the run, is second to none. If you look at the third down conversion, red zone conversion, everybody tells you how hard it is on third down and how important it is you win. If you look at the red zone offense and how hard it is to win, everybody tells you, but then they give you a guy that does it as good, if not better, than anybody else, and he gets dinged for it. So he'll never get the love that he deserves.
Yeah, he's at the to me, there's no way Justin Herbert should be ahead of him. To me, I'm not.
I would agree with that. I would agree.
I'm not one that believes. Herbert shouldn't be in it. I think his talent and everything he has done, it would hit my ears weird if he wasn't.
Yeah.
If like Baker's in there, but Jalen Hurts is, I mean, he's run through a lot of these guys on the list and had to play to a certain level as well. I think it's weird that the reigning MVP of the Super Bowl, who also in his history has a second place overall league MVP finish.
Yeah.
And, you know, in two Super Bowls he's played and going up against the one who's number one on the list, and he is arguably outplayed in both times. So that one's weird that he is so low. But C.J. Stroud falls out of the top 10 this year on this list, and we'll dive into it a little bit more because there's some other things to kind of look at through that. I had a real embarrassing moment. Tyler was with me. Tyler sat there and heard this embarrassing moment. Clint doesn't know what it is. We went to the game. There were four young ladies sitting in front of us. Having some fun, you know, having some conversation. I just had a real embarrassing response that I was kicking myself for hours afterwards. The question was, the four ladies got up and said, "Hey, we're heading to the bathroom. You coming? You won't be able to guess my response. You will not be able to guess my response and how I just I wasn't able to pull the trigger the way that Steve Kerr was when Jordan made that pass to him. I just wasn't able to pull the trigger. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. We'll discuss coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Welcome back. Weigh in coming up here at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock. Clint believes he might hit his lowest.
Got a chance, I think.
You feeling good?
I'm not great, but I got a chance.
Feeling good.
I got a chance.
And the last good couple of days. As I said earlier, I think Tyler is on the hook for a little piece of whatever happens to me on the scale.
And as I retorted earlier, I hard disagree with that.
That's okay. He encouraged me to go get a frozen margarita, and not just a regular one, but the really big, huge one.
How was it? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, God. So refreshing.
Oh, my God. They had a little lime and strawberry mix. because he before I left, he also told me you got to get the mix where the green and the red. They didn't have green this time, but they had the lime. But
is this true, Tyler?
Yes. So you with the caveat of following up by saying, as long as your ass is ready on Monday.
I will say he said that earlier in the day as we got past the offering of the brisket nachos, a lot of the be ready on Monday went out of the building.
Yeah, I don't think ending every bad suggestion with you better be ready on Monday, I mean.
I told him to follow his heart, too.
Oh, okay.
And you know where the hell, you know where that is.
Follow your heart, not my advice.
Yeah, my heart almost
if that ain't the damn truth, out to me.
To Frenchie's then afterwards. My heart I did not eat late night, though. And
that's good.
We kept it going. I did not eat late night. I did believe there were going to be some chicken wings left in the fridge when I got back. My wife had done some chicken wings with her and the kids and some folks. There were no chicken wings left. And so I just had to go to bed. But yeah. So I think Tyler is...
They did you a favor.
Is a part of it. Yeah.
See, that's looking out for you.
That's looking out. Let's go ahead and punish these things.
Smashing brisket nachos and like throwing strawberry margaritas in your face.
And by the way, and people, someone texted in, Tyler, be a man, finish your food. That's weird.
I think they thought that the Pink's pizza I brought in was leftovers.
Yeah.
To be fair, Tyler does not finish his food.
But again, you know when Tyler doesn't finish his food. So you know the offering of those brisket nachos, it wasn't just like a couple.
Oh, no, it was half the order.
It was half.
About half, yeah.
Yeah, a little over half. About half,
I mean, they load that thing up.
Yeah. Get your money's worth, don't they, bub?
Mm-hmm. Kinda. I was full.
So, speaking of that, we're at the game. And by the way, people wondering the sizes, right? Big Phil was not 5'10", 330-ish.
Oh, I thought he was giving us the size of the women. I didn't know he was still talking about Big Phil.
No, Big Phil was about 5'10", 255-ish. Josh was 5'6". That was probably accurate, but about 174 pounds, maybe something like that. So we said a lot better than what we thought we might be running into. But there was a group of four young ladies in front of us. Young girl in the end looked like Arthur's sister from the cartoon show, DW.
She really did. She looked Arthur. Like a real-life grown mouse.
a grown mouse?
Yeah, it's a kid show, Arthur. Yeah. You ever seen Arthur?
She's a cartoon mouse.
DW, his little sister, she had the DW haircut and everything.
Yeah.
It just really looked like her. That's all I could sense. But the other four girls, they were fun group. One of the girls came in, and she had a... She looked like there's somewhere you can get some real barbecue in the spot.
Yeah.
Didn't know that was there.
Me either.
She came in with some sliced brisket. She had some smoked chicken, a thigh and a leg, had some coleslaw, had a little another side. She smoked the brisket.
You really checked out her
meal,
didn't
you? Yeah, me and Big Vic, we really checked it out. She really smoked the brisket. I asked her, I said, how is it? Is it good? She was like, oh, they were like, yeah, it was really, really good. $28 for it all. I said, oh, I bet. And she sat there a little bit. She's, you know, talking. And there's that chicken's just not getting touched. Side's not getting touched. I'm a little concerned. And then she and her friend went up, and they all left, and then they all came back. But she didn't have that box no more. And old Vic leaned over to me and said, what do you think she did with that chicken? I said, oh, my God, if she threw out that smoked chicken. Because that's something I could eat. I tapped down and I said, you didn't throw away that chicken, did you? She said, oh, no. Went up there, got some Saran wrap, wrapped it, took it to go. And they literally had a little clear backpack that had Saran wrap chicken in their backpack. First off,
how about that?
I don't know that I have the balls to ask that or to even approach that. Don't know.
So much needs to be broken down there, but I'm sorry. Go ahead. I mean, to go from an Astros game
to go.
That involves... No to-go dish, but Saran wrap.
But Tyler, how serious were they? Were dead ass serious.
Oh, they left on a mission for that foil and Saran wrap.
They asked for a to-go box first, and then, well, what else do you have? And they said, we got some Saran wrap. Let me hold that. And, I mean, they had it.
Saran wrapped up in the purse, or in the backpack, in the clear backpack.
So then the four of them, having a good time, they get up. And the girl says, I'm in the aisle seat. She turns to me and she goes,
is this, now this is DW?
No. This is the other one on the end. She says, we're about to go to the bathroom. You coming with us? And Tyler, do you remember what I said?
I do now.
This man looked at him bold face. I'm sitting next to Ron.
I didn't know what to do. I was not ready for the pass.
Hey, we're going to the bathroom. You coming? Here's Ron. I'm allergic. I'm allergic.
That's what came to my mind.
To which they looked down and made a very strange face and cruised on up.
Said, oh, okay.
What the hell's wrong with this guy? Allergic?
He froze, boys.
That's
froze.
All I had.
Deer in the headlights.
I'm done, right? I'm out.
Yeah, that was...
There's some good-looking Latina women. There's so
many things. I'd have been disappointed in you right
there. Oh, Vic.
Did y'all give him hail?
Oh, Vic gave me hail.
I just started laughing my ass off.
Every bar. You allergic?
Ron, the show you...
I did not. I don't...
A crew of women. You want to go to the bathroom with me, and you... It's a,
all
I'm allergic.
All I could muster.
What do you think? What do you think made that? Where'd that come from?
I don't know. As you said, I froze, I have to really have to take a look at myself. I mean, I know I've been out the game for about 16, 17 years, but damn, allergic.
I mean, you're in the.
I said
talking,
I did.
You know?
I went
like
out.
You talk for a living.
I mean, they had to pause and look at him like.
They paused and looked.
Wait,
at
what?
I feel like if you're in the radio business or TV business, like you don't like being out of the game, sure, but not at like you talk for a living.
You should still be pretty decent at impromptu.
Like you talk for a living. Like you should be. The question should be asked like, damn, you got a mouthpiece on you. I mean, aren't you married? Yeah, but I'm in the radio business. I got.
There's so many things
allergic. I'm disappointed.
I mean, I was. I said that's all you had. Self-talk.
I mean, did they ever come back?
Yeah, they came back.
Did you apologize or
I felt at that point you just
Tyler. Were these like?
They were. It was in a. It was a group of, women, like, of four attractive women. Women. Yeah,
well,
they
you
were.
You said one of them looked like a rat.
NDW.
You said one of them looked like a mouse.
It's a cute kid's mouse. She was cute.
It's still not.
But okay. All four of them were attractive ladies.
Particularly the one who said it.
Yes.
Is that what it was? If you would have been attractive at all, would you?
No, what happened is I did not expect that at all. I was not ready for that.
For him to be.
I was not ready for them to all rise, stand up, turn around.
Be honest, when they stood up or something, did one of them catch you checking them out or something so you were on the spot?
No.
No, that was earlier in the day at the at Warren's when the woman caught him checking them out.
I wasn't checking her out. She just stared me down.
She stopped her walk and looked him into his soul. She said,
I forgot. I just said, what is going on around? I
said, damn. Yeah, I was at Warren's.
I'm allergic. That's it. I mean... You know, for my marriage, I feel like that was a good move. But I mean, I feel like I could have said something.
I think Courtney's even disappointed in that response. I'll be honest with you. I think Courtney's even disappointed in that response.
I just feel like I could have come up with a lot of different things. I mean, Vic said you could have done so many things. I mean, there's between
you could have just waved the old band at her and moved on.
Between not getting up and going to the restroom and I'm allergic, there's so many things. There's so many options in between, but I'm allergic. I mean, you know, it was the look of, huh?
I mean, you confused them.
She said, okay.
Did y'all get any names?
No, I end up. Some people started to leave. I ended up moving two rows up.
You're embarrassed.
Of course. Yeah. Come on, I'm better than this. I thought.
No, you are. Actually,
I am. I was like I said.
Man, oh, damn, so
I know it. Yeah, and Larry is probably. Larry can give me all hell.
There ain't no doubt. Yeah, wherever he is right now, he's definitely giving you hell.
I'm allergic. I even said it to myself. I'm allergic. What the hell? What the hell did you say that for? I'm allergic. Stupid. All right, coming up way in time. And since we are a week away, next week, training camp starts and all the real happens for the Texans. What's on our minds? We're going to do this each day. What's on our minds on a Monday about the Texans training camp? All of that, of which I'm not allergic to, coming up next right here live on the drive.